Shalom Aleichem, the Mishnah continues for Yud Beis Nisan. We are in chapter 5 of Psachim, Tamid Nishchat, all about the actual Avodah, the ritual of the Karban Pesach. We are in Mishnah Zion. Yotzta Kot Rishona, the first group went out. Remember, the first group to offer their Karban Pesach. The Nichnasa Kot Shnia, and the second group goes into the temple courtyard. Yotzta Shnia, the second goes out. Nichnasa Shlishi, then the third can go in. Kima'asei HaRishona, Kach Ma'asei HaShnia. Like the actions of the first group, so too was the actions of the second group, Vehashlishit, and the third group. As we described yesterday, they would use an assembly line, a human chain of Kohanim, passing the bowls back and forth. Remember, we mentioned a Yisrael, a non-Kohen, could do the Shechita, but from then on, a Kohen had to do the Kabbalah, the catching of the dam, and the Holacha, the transporting the dam to the Mizbeach, and the Zrika, the sprinkling the dam on the Mizbeach. So, same for all the groups. Karu et Halal. And they were singing Hallel during this service. Im Gamru, and if they finished Hallel, Shanu, they would repeat it a second time. All the Hallelukas that we do on Rosh Chodesh on the holidays. Im Shanu, and if they did it a second time and they're still working on the Avodah, they still have some blood left to sprinkle, Shilshu, they would say it a third time. Afopi, Shalo Shilshu Min Mehem. But Lamaisa, they never actually got to the third time. They were always fast enough with their human chain and sprinkling the blood, and they were very efficient and very quick. So they never said Hallel three times. Now, it doesn't tell you how fast they were saying Hallel. You can imagine they weren't speed reading. They were probably singing, and maybe had some instruments, and some Levim were singing along and all sorts of things. So it's probably a very nice recitation of Hallel. But we don't know exactly how long it took, but they weren't delaying, is the point. Rabbi Yehuda adds here, Mimehem shall kot shlishit, for the third group of Jews to bring their Karban Pesach, lo higia lahavti ki yishma Hashem mipnei she'ama mu'atin. So by the third group, when they were singing Hallel, they would also sing Hallel, but they didn't even get up to ahavti, which is five Tehillim in to the recitation of Hallel. It's about halfway in, almost halfway in, because there weren't so many people there, so they could go a lot faster. Great Anshe Mishnah Ches, Mishnah 8, K'ma'asehu b'chol, like the ritual on a weekday, kach ma'asehu b'Shabbat. So too, the ritual is done on Shabbat. Elisha Kohanim medichim et azara shelo kitzon chachamim. But on Shabbat, the Kohanim there would rinse out the azara, the temple courtyard, against the wishes of the sages. Now, Lamaisa, what they would do is they could plug up the stream. There was a stream of water going through the Azara, the temple courtyard, and they could plug it up to sort of fill it up, like plugging up a bathtub to kind of rinse off everything and then release the drain and let the water out. Now, the issue the sages had is that we don't normally allow washing floors on Shabbat because somebody might come to be Meshave Gumot, he might come to even out things that are uneven. It could be a Toldah of Bona, as we talked about in Masechet Shabbat. And you might say, oh, we've learned that a shvut is a rabbinical prohibition that's designed to keep us away from a biblical prohibition. Shvut was mutter in the temple. We've learned that already. That's true, but it's only mutter for the needs of avodah, for the needs of the service. And the sages thought this wasn't really necessary. It's just sort of the cleanup afterwards. Rabbi Yehuda adds an interesting halacha. Kos haya memole midam matarovot. What they would do at the end, when everyone was done, they would pick up a cup and they would fill it from the dam matarovot, the mixed blood that's on the floor. Now, there could be a lot of blood spilled from all these animals, all these karbanot. It could be quite a lot of blood. So they would take a cup of it, zrako zrika achat al gabei mizbeach, and they would actually throw this, they would apply this onto the mizbeach as if it was a proper zrika of a Karban Pesach. Now, the reason for this is if someone got spilled, if someone got forgotten or someone got spilled, remember we mentioned the kalim they used didn't have a bottom quite on purpose so that they wouldn't accidentally put it down and lose it. They had to hold it the whole time. But if someone got lost or something got spilled, so it's sort of a makeup, sort of an insurance policy was to take one cup of blood from the floor, which in theory has every blood from everybody's carbon, and apply it to the mizbeach as insurance policy. But again, lo hodu lo chachamim. The sages say that's not really an effective insurance policy for your Karban Pesach. Now, the reason Rabbi Yehuda would say it works is because he holds, even though a lot of the blood on the floor is not really the blood you need. You really need the blood that comes out of the incision when they do the shechita, what's called dama nefesh, the lifeblood. That's what you really need to put on the mizbeach. And with all these animals, all these karbanot, a lot of the blood is dam tamzit, is blood that leaks out afterwards. So most of the blood is not the blood you need. Rabbi Yehuda holds ein dam bevatel dam. He says min bemino, like items. Ein mevatla. They don't make each other nullified. So even though there's much more dam tamsi oozed out secondary later blood than the dam nefesh, he would hold the dam nefesh is not butl, so this throwing the cup of mixed blood is a good insurance policy. But the other sages say, no, it is butl, and the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda.